It's good to see everyone here tonight. I was going to mention that last song we sang, number 382, the first two or three times I went to Honduras with a group of people, that was our theme song that we sang every morning at our devotional before we went out. So it has a very special meaning to me. We'll look tonight at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And Matthew 13 is in a series of parables that Jesus told. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but they threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that's part of one of Jesus' parables there. Now, the background of that particular parable goes back to chapter 12. Jesus, for example, healed a man that was possessed of a demon in chapter 12 and verse 22. And then it aroused interest and curiosity about him because people didn't know that this was going on. And they saw what Jesus had done for this man and what a great thing it was. Also in chapter 12, verse 38 through 45, the Pharisees then came to him and asked for a sign, but they were rebuked by the Lord. He says, I'll give you a sign, the sign of Jonah the prophet. And that was a sign of Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And he says, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. But they didn't understand. But the idea that they asked for a sign is rather interesting because he had shown them many signs already, worked many miracles to prove he was the Son of God. In chapter 12, verse 46 through 50, the Lord's family, Mary and the others came, his brothers and sisters came to find him and to see him. But they couldn't get there because of the crowds. And then in chapter 13, as it begins, Christ went out by the seaside and came and spoke to a great variety of people there out by the seaside. So then he begins to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is. He was announcing the coming of this kingdom, which they had been looking for all the way back, beginning back to the time of Moses. This idea of the kingdom was going to be established. And Jesus was talking about it, what it was going to be like. And he called it, in the book of Matthew, it's called usually the kingdom of heaven. The other gospels, it's usually called the kingdom of God, but it's one and the same. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. They told that to Peter, and actually told the rest of the apostles also, if you read on in that chapter, that he was going to give them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, those keys are the preaching of the gospel message beginning on the day of Pentecost. The apostles were given the first opportunity to preach the gospel after Jesus' death, burial, his resurrection, his ascension back to heaven. They were given that privilege. So they were given the keys to open up the door so that everyone could come into the kingdom. But then he talks about in this parable, Matthew chapter 13, and beginning there at verse 47, after using several different illustrations of the kingdom, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. The kingdom is like the fishing net that was cast into the sea. Now, this is not just a little one-person net that we might use sometimes when we're fishing. It was not just a small fishing operation. In fact, Peter and James and John and Andrew were all professional fishermen. That's how they made their living. So they understood this, and by the Sea of Galilee, the people around there would know all about fishing boats that would go out. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, in walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So that was their occupation. This wasn't just a sidelight and what they did for recreation, like some of us sometimes do for some way to get away. It was their work. It was their job. And they cast the net. And it was a large net that could bring in many fish if the time was right. And it took more usually than one or two to handle that. It was large enough it could bring a large number of fish in. The sea then, in this particular parable, represents the world that is to be evangelized, where the gospel is to be preached. And so the sea there, all the fish are out there, but some of them someone has to bring them in with the net, which is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The sea represents the world and that is to be evangelized. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples," or teach all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And in Mark 16, Mark's particular version of the Great Commission, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." So the fishing net was a symbol of the preaching of the gospel, casting it out and bringing them in. But we go on in this particular passage in verse 48. He says, "Which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but the bad they threw away." Okay? This, of course, represents the idea of the judgment. And when you throw out the net, there's all kinds that are going to be brought in. They weren't specifically trying to find one particular kind of fish that they were trying to catch, but they were all kinds that would come in when they dropped the nets like that. And evangelizing is teaching the Word of God and setting an example for others. Sometimes there will be those who will come in who will not be faithful. They will not be the good people that will serve God and live that way the rest of their life. And so the parable, like for example, Jesus told the parable of the tares also one time, of the one that sowed good seed in his land, and an enemy came and sowed weeds or tares there. And the master, when he saw what had happened, he says, "Leave them alone at the harvest." He said, "We will get rid of the bad ones, the tares, and keep the wheat." And to preach and teach the Word of God, and sometimes we use the word evangelize. It comes from a word literally from Greek meaning to bring or to announce glad tidings, to proclaim glad tidings, or the gospel, as we usually use the term. But both good and bad were gathered into the marriage feast. And in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus told that parable, in Matthew 22, and you go over there, and Matthew 22 and verses 9 and 10, and he says, "So the servants gathered, therefore they go into the highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all who they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." Now, you read on down, and there's one that came in, and this is what it symbolizes, one that did not have the right wedding garment on. You have to understand, in that time, if the king or someone invited you to the wedding, then you had to go. There was no choice in the matter. But they also provided the wedding clothes, the good clothes for you to wear to it. So the man came and was not wearing the ones that he had been given. And so he was to be cast out. Well, that's the same principle here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 48. They gathered the fish out of the sea by the great net. It says, "When it was full, they drew to shore. They sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but the bad they threw away. So when they filled the net, it was drawn up on the beach." And so the net was filled with a purpose. And the purpose of that is the redemption that Christ offers to you and me. as we were talking about, as was mentioned with the partaking of the Lord's Supper, Jesus is the one that made the sacrifice so that we could have that eternal life, that redemption. The redemption price is paid for you and me by the blood of Christ. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he says there, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. God allows us the time in this world to believe and to accept the gospel and obey it and live accordingly. And so, but we have to do something about it. We have to be willing to accept it on His terms. We have to believe it. We have to obey what the Lord requires of you and me. And He wants us to be saved eternally. He wants everyone to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, God is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would not have allowed Christ to die on the cross if He wanted us to die. He would have just kept Him in heaven, and we would have all died and been lost. But the drawing up to the beach means the coming time of the judgment in this particular passage. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 49, he says there, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous. In other words, there's going to be a time when there will be this separation that is made, the good from the bad. And you go back to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus gives a fuller description of the day of judgment when he talks about the Lord will come and everyone will be brought before Him. And He'll separate the sheep from the goats, the good from the evil. At the judgment, there is going to be a judgment. And everyone that's ever lived on the face of the earth is going to be there. There will be no exceptions. No one's going to be good enough to go around that. No one's going to be bad enough that they're not going to be going to that either. And so it's going to happen. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, Paul says there, and in the Word of God, he says, to me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You know, it's going to happen. Whether we've been faithful to God or whether we have not, at the day of judgment, we're still going to bow before God, before Christ, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, as we find in the book of 1 Corinthians. But notice, as long as the fish are in the water, they have complete independence of movement. They can go wherever they want to go. But once they have been caught, that's their destiny is then sealed. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua at the end of his life, speaking to the people the last time, he says, choose today whom you will serve. And he says, whether the God that brought you out of Egypt or the gods of your fathers that they worship back before that. He says, choose now, one or the other. You can't have both. The choice that we have in life is in life. Once we die, we do not have any more choice. And when Christ comes again, then the judgment's going to be. In Matthew 25 and verse 46, at the end, he says, these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. So Jesus is talking about this particular parable of the gathering together at the end, and they will separate the good from the bad. So verse 49 says, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just. There's going to be that great separation. But notice also, the fishermen sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast away the bad. The fishermen who separated represent the angels. You read through the Jesus' explanation and also in the book of Revelation, they will assist the Lord in the day of judgment. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25 for a moment. Matthew 25 and beginning at verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So that's going to be the day. And he goes on to explain those who have rejected him, they will suffer being cast out of God's presence for all of eternity. The angels, of course, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, when Christ comes again, he will come with his holy angels, rendering vengeance on those that know not God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it says they sat down, indicating that just at the judgment there will be a deliberation, not a spur of the moment thing. It's going to be well organized. It will be completely fair. In Matthew 25 and verse 34 it says, "Then shall the king," that's God, "say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father." Now, no one that's not supposed to be there is going to be there. And everyone who is supposed to be there will be there. Because God knows every one of us personally, individually, and everyone that's been that's lived on the face of the earth. There's no order of gathering that is implied in the parable of the net. Just whatever is dragged to the shore there, and that's the illustration, is pulled in. And then there's going to be the judgment. Matthew 13 and verse 30, he says, "Let both grow together until the harvest." And that's the parable about the sower that and how the seed is sown. And then he says, "In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." And so there's going to be a separation at the day of judgment, and it's going to be complete. The good that's gathered into the vessels is for preserving and to be faithful. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 30, he says the barn is the place of reward for those who have been faithful. In John chapter 14 and verse 2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." So it's represented by the barn of bringing in the good. It's been represented by the mansions that we can receive when we are called home to be with the Lord because of our faith. There is an everlasting habitation that comes with it. Luke chapter 16 and verse 9, Jesus said that they may receive you into eternal tabernacles. Eternal tabernacles, mansions, all of these things are given to us to give us maybe just a tiny bit of understanding about the majesty and the glory that is going to be revealed when we're allowed to go in the presence of God. It is a city in which to live. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, it says of Abraham, "He looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham looked beyond the physical part there. That's why he was faithful to God. He was able to see beyond the physical things there, and even the things on the earth that he received, that he was looking for something that was greater. And we all need to look at that too. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, he says, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Well, that's what we look forward to, the heavenly Jerusalem. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "To him that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my own new name." That's Jesus speaking there. And you go over to Revelation chapter 21, and he says, "I saw the new heaven and the new earth coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband." We want to be part of that for all of eternity. But on the bad, the other side, they're going to be cast away in the parable onto the shore for to be eaten by the birds or whatever it is. to die, it's going to be the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Turn over again to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, again, and verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's not something to look forward to, but we can escape that, not because of how good we are, but because how good Christ is and what He did for us. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 17, says, "The corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit, and it's going to continue as long as this world is in existence. But at the end, it's going to be destroyed, and there's going to be the day of judgment." In Matthew 7:18, says, "Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." We have to hold on to Christ. He is the good. You go to John chapter 15 and verse 6. He says, "If any man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Now, John 15 and verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples." If we bear fruit for the Lord by living and teaching and serving and setting an example to others, we're not going to be idle or unfruitful. We're going to have eternal life, which God has promised. So we look at this parable again. What are some lessons we can gain from the parable of the fishing net? First of all, as the net does not discriminate against anything and anyone, the preaching of the gospel is the same. Everyone is subject to the gospel, to hear and to believe and to obey it. And if we do that, no matter who they are, what they're, where they come from, what language they speak, or anything else, any of the divisions that people make among each other in this life, God doesn't do that. The gospel is for everyone. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus told the parable there of the marriage feast. And He told them when He first invited them, there were many that made excuses that wouldn't come. He says then in Luke 14, verse 23, He says, "Go into the highways and the hedges and constrain them to come in, that my house may be filled." That's the preaching of the gospel, that the house of God, not a physical building we're talking about, but the spiritual house of God will be complete. Also, we learn that only those from the net, those who are in the kingdom, are going to be taken into the vessels. Those outside are going to be rejected. There are ones who will not obey the gospel of Christ. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, those inside the net can be saved eternally. Again, not because of our goodness, but because we submit to the will of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul said there, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." If we're in Christ, we're not going to be condemned. Yes, we'll fall short. We won't live up to perfection. But He's still going to take us home to be with Him. Even when we do that, if we are willing to own up to our sins and repent. We also learn it is not enough just to be in the net. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 20, He says, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some unto honor and some unto dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." In other words, it takes an effort on our part. We can't just be dragged ashore and hope that everything's going to be all right. We have to prepare a believing and obeying and teaching and serving others. Also, we learn that God will purge evil from His kingdom at the judgment. 1 Peter 4:17, He says there, "For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel?" Well, the answer to that last part is they will be rejected. They will be the fish that weren't good enough and be thrown away. But those who are faithful will spend eternity with Him. So he says the judgment begins at the house of God. Why is it that? Because God expects more of you and me if we're in Christ. He expects us to remain faithful. But by His grace, He will forgive if we sin. Now this evening, we've looked at these things and realized that someday there is going to be a day of judgment. Christ is going to come again. This world is going to be destroyed, but we're going to stand before Him. We're going to live eternally with Him if we're faithful. This evening, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.